Thank you. Again, we come to you with real joy and delight to discuss the Word of God with each one of you this morning. And some of you are sitting there having a coffee break, and I just trust you have your Bible and your notebook. And I hope that you're reading this book of Ephesians through every week. Just read it, and reread it, read a chapter a day. Just 6 chapters, and you can read it through very, very easily in a few moments, a chapter a day. And may your mind be filled with it so that as we go on through the book of Ephesians, your mind will be saturated with the Word of God, with the text which we're using. And we're in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. For those of you just coming in for the first time, we're studying the book of Ephesians. We're in the first chapter, which deals with the great truth of redemption. And we've just been working on these verses 3 to 6, the work of the Father in our redemption. And there were 4 wonderful things which the Father did concerning our redemption. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He chose us in Christ to be holy and without blame. And He determined that we should be adopted into His family as His sons. And He accepted us in the Beloved, in all that Christ is. Herein is a wonderful thing. And I repeat it, I'm amazed at these truths as we have in these 4 verses. Verses 3 to 6. Blessed, chosen, adopted, accepted. There's enough truth here to make you and me revel in the presence of God for all eternity. Enough to cause us to dedicate our lives entirely and wholly to Him. There should be a response in your heart of appreciation of the fact that you and I are accepted in all that Christ is before the Father. And now we come to the work of the Son in our redemption, whom the Father blessed and chose and accepted, the Son redeemed. So we have from verses 7 to 12, the work of the Son in our redemption. Now here we have the purpose of God worked out, the execution of His eternal purpose which He had purposed in Christ, to make us acceptable before God. And if God has determined that we are to be before Him holy and without blame, if God has determined that we shall be accepted in all that Christ is, then He must provide the things so that our acceptance and our fellowship with Him will be complete. Have I made myself very, very clear before I take up this question of the work of the Son in our redemption? The purpose of God, the will of God, He's chosen us according to the riches of His grace. He's chosen us according to the good pleasure of His will. He's declared that we shall be to the praise of the glory of His grace. He's declared that we are accepted in all that Christ is before Him. Then He must work out that thing whereby you and I individually can accept what He's already accomplished. In other words, there must be a foundation for our faith. I repeat it, being a holy God and men being in sin, if we are to be acceptable before Him, something must take place. His righteous character must be vindicated, and our sins must be put away once for all forever. May I repeat that, please? Before God can do anything for us and with us and in us, His character must be vindicated. As a righteous God, He can't let sin go by unpunished. And if we are to stand before Him, we must have a righteousness. We must have a holiness. We must be without fault. So it must be worked out somehow. So we have it here in verses 7 to 12. The work of the Son in our redemption. Now just as there were 4 things concerning the Father in our redemption, likewise there are 4 things about the Son in our redemption. I say again, because man has lived in sin, he's been disobedient, he's been rebellious, he's dead in trespasses and sins, then he must become the object of His grace. And God, in infinite grace, has provided the ransom. So the very first thing is redeemed, for we read in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. He's been talking about the beloved, and in him we have redemption through his blood. You remember, as we studied the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 24, we took up this question of redemption, and I'm going to repeat a few things concerning that. To refresh your memory, that verse in Romans 3:24 was, by the way, being declared righteous, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, this word redeem means to be set free by the payment of a price. There are two things involved in redemption. There's a price that must be paid, and because the price is paid, the slave must be emancipated, must be set free. As Romans 7:14 says, we were sold under sin. Ephesians chapter 2, 2 and 3 says, in time past we lived according to the course of this world. We lived in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. In 2 Corinthians 4, 4 says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not. And when our Savior came, he came to provide a ransom. You remember in Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for all. The same thing is found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the 6th verse, who gave himself a ransom. He came preaching deliverance. I love those verses, by the way, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, when Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to give deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You see, our Lord came. He came preaching. He came delivering. He's the only one who can deliver sinners from their sin. We who were slaves and sold under sin must be emancipated. A price must be paid, and the prisoners and the slaves set free. So we find that the ground of our redemption is through his blood. It says here, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Remember Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. We've been reconciled, or he made peace, through the blood of his cross. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, he entered once into the holy place with his own blood, and there obtained for us an eternal redemption. In 1 Peter 1, 18 to 20, for you know you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold by the vain tradition of your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, that was a lamb without blemish and without spot, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times for us. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, in whom we have redemption, or who hath loosed us from our sins in his own blood. In Revelation 5, 9, we read, for thou hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe. You notice the word that I'm emphasizing is, the ground of redemption is through the blood of Christ. That is, through his work on the cross. I'm well aware of the fact that there are those today in religious circles who don't like to talk about the blood of Christ. I'm reminded one time of a preacher preaching on the blood of Christ. And when the service was over, a dear, well-dressed lady came to the pastor and said, Pastor, I wish you wouldn't talk about the blood of Christ. It is nauseating to ladies and gentlemen. And he aptly said, yes, that's true, lady, that's true. And she said, oh, I'm so glad you see it. Yes, he said, I see it. For Jesus Christ did not die and shed his blood for ladies and gentlemen. He shed his blood and died for sinners, that they might be redeemed from their sin. It's not the value, let me put this very clearly to your heart and mind, it's not the value that men place upon the work of his Son at the cross. It's not the value that men put upon the blood of his Son. It's the great value that God has placed upon the work of his Son. Remember in Hebrews chapter 9:22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There are those who teach that when you talk about redemption by blood, it's a religion of gore. They say this is something that has passed down from the Dark Ages. This question of animal sacrifice is abhorrent to the present-day man. And some such statements are continually being made. My friend, I don't care what men say. I don't care what value men put upon these things. I do know what the Scripture says concerning the value that God has put upon the blood of His Son. God has put such a value on the blood of Christ that the sinner who comes and accepts the Savior and that work which was accomplished for him is not only redeemed but set free, is emancipated. And from what have we been redeemed? We've been redeemed from sin. You have that in Titus 2:14, who gave himself to redeem us out of all iniquity. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, we've been redeemed from this present evil world. In Galatians chapters 3 and chapter 4, we've been delivered and redeemed from the law and its curse. For Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Hence we are no longer under the authority of sin, no longer under the authority of the world or of the law and its curse. We've been set free. We've been loosed eternally. Eternally. For Hebrews 9:12 says he obtained for us an eternal redemption. And I want this very, very clear. The character of God does not change. And if he has declared without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin, then, my friend, this is the fact. And how glad I am, how glad I am that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came and shed his blood that you and I might be redeemed. As the Apostle Paul could say in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I to the world. Whom we have redemption through his blood. Won't you today thank God, not only because he died for you, but that he put away your sin, and that the ground of your redemption is the work of Christ at the cross, and that God has accepted that work and emancipated you and me from sin, from its guilt, from its bondage, from its power. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Sing it today, will you? And the Lord bless you.